Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ." The Apostle Paul got a message from the family of Chloe saying that there were some problems there at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul has to write a letter to the Corinthians to solve those problems. You know, the problems that Paul deals with in the book of Corinthians are problems that really we face today. And when I say we, I'm talking about Christendom. Those who profess to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and those who are part of the body of Christ, those who are in the family of God, that there are problems within Christianity. And almost every problem that you'll find in Christianity is dealt with in the book of Corinthians. It's interesting that Paul says that it's been reported of you by the family of Chloe. You know, almost look at that as saying, oh boy, Paul told where he got the information. This family's in a lot of trouble. But this family, this isn't gossip that's going on. This was spiritual concern going on by this family. Paul uses that name to show that it's not just gossip that he's picking up on, that there is a man here, and perhaps that this is a spiritual man that's really concerned with the welfare and the spiritual life of the Corinthians. They had some problems, and they had many problems. But I'll tell you, there is a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 3, that really tells me what's the root of all the problems at Corinth. It says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul calls them carnal. He says that your problem is that you're carnal. That word carnal means that they are fleshly. Carnal is the word that speaks about flesh. It's the word that we get carnivorous and other things, English words from. And what it talks about is that the problem with the Corinthians, their eyes were on the external. They were on the physical things. They were on the world. They were on the flesh. They were on the satisfaction of the flesh. They were not upon their eyes were not fixed upon the Lord, upon spiritual things, the things God wants, the development of the inner man in their life. Their interest and their attention was not given to spiritual things. Paul says in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might freely know the things that are freely given to us of God." God, when we got saved, when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God took His Spirit and put it in every believer. And by the Spirit of God, we can now take the Scriptures and we can discern spiritual things. But discerning has to do with thought life, has to do with the way you think and the way you view things, and from a judgment point of view. That is, judging it and looking at it and evaluating it on a spiritual level or on a carnal level. And the problem with the Corinthians, even though God had put His Spirit in them and gave them His Word, and according to verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, "Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." The Spirit of God working in us, pointing us to the Word of God, to learn what spiritual truths are about, those are the things that would develop spirituality in a life. But those things can be squashed. Those things can be hindered. Those things, the Holy Spirit Himself can be grieved. And as a result of that, a believer who has the Spirit of God can put aside the spiritual benefits that God has given him and still view the world as from a fleshly point of view. And as it said in 1 Corinthians 3:3, not only did Paul call him carnal, but he says, and walk as men. Believers aren't to walk like the rest of the people of this world. Our walk, our conduct ought to be on a different level with a different attitude from a spiritual point of view. But the Corinthians, they were carnal. And they chose to continue not to let scriptures guide and develop their thinking. But they viewed everything externally, and it led to every problem that they have. Now, when you go through this, you're going to find that they had problems in their sanctified life. That is, they were living carnally, even to the point of fornication and sinning. Yes, believers can sin, and believers can commit fornication. We're not perfect, we're just saved. But if we'll let God's Word work in our heart, we can be cleansed of sin in our life. But the Corinthians didn't let God's Word work that way. Also, when you get on, you find out that they couldn't get along with one another. They were suing each other in court and those type of things. And why were they doing that? Well, they weren't letting the Scriptures guide their thought life about how their attitude ought to be one toward another. They were just thinking of the flesh, and if someone offends them, I'm going to get even. And if I got to take them to court, I'm going to take them to court. And so that's the things that they were doing. Paul had to deal with that. They were even ministering, trying to minister spiritual gifts in a carnal way, and Paul has to deal with that in chapters 12, 13, and 14 of the book of Corinthians. And then they were beginning to even doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the resurrection at all, that there is a bodily resurrection, and Paul has to deal with that in chapter 15 and going into chapter 16. And so Paul had to deal with them. All their problems came from that one problem, is that they were carnal rather than spiritual. Now, if you're not saved, everything I'm going to have to say to you and that you're going to hear me say is not going to have a whole lot of effect, because what I'm going to say will have to do more with someone who is saved, who needs to think on a spiritual level. But let me tell you, you can be saved. You can realize that you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ went to the cross and on the cross paid for your sins. And in paying for your sins, He took away the thing that was holding you, was holding you captive to damnation. The thing that was offensive between you and God, it's sin. And Jesus Christ took it out of the way and rose from the dead to be your Savior. And the Bible now tells us that if you'll just believe on Jesus Christ, believe what He's done for you, put your faith in the fact that He died for your sins and that He rose again for your justification, you can be saved. God will look on you in favor and not see your sin. He'll see your sin at Calvary on the cross of Christ. And He'll not see your shortcomings. He'll see the righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account, and you will be His child through faith in Jesus Christ. So you can be saved. And then once you're saved and you become a child of God, God indeed put His Spirit in you, and then wants you to live and glorify Him in a spiritual walk of life. Now, the first walk that I want to get to, the problem at Corinth, the first thing that Paul dealt with, is in chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ." Now, the problem that Paul's dealing with here is that the Corinthians were dividing up into divisions. And really, there's kind of like four figureheads here that they were dividing up and identifying themselves with man. And in that division, they began to split into different groups, almost like denominations are today. They began to divide up into different groups, and Paul asked the question, is Christ divided? There's only one Lord Jesus Christ, and He's not divided. And yet they're all divided up, because some of them are saying, I'm of Paul, and some are saying, I'm of Apollos, and some saying, I'm of Cephas, and others were saying, I am of Christ. And Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Paul didn't die for any of us. Jesus Christ did. He says, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Apparently, they were getting so caught up in identifying themselves with different teachers that came by that they were saying they're of Paul. And so he uses himself as one of those examples. And he says, I wasn't crucified for you. And he says, when you were baptized, you weren't baptized in the name of Paul. You were being identified with Jesus Christ. But they were using that water baptism as a means of identifying which man they were going to call themselves as being part of his group, one of his disciples, one of this sect of Christianity. And so one of the things that the Corinthians had a problem with is they were elevating man. The Corinthians were taking certain men, and these men are biblical men. Paul's found in the Bible. Apollos is found in the Bible. Cephas, that's Peter in your Bible. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were dividing themselves up among those men, and what they were doing is they were elevating man. Now, we'll talk about Jesus Christ and how they were identifying with him, even in the wrong sense, because this verse is using it as they're doing something wrong. We'll talk about how that is in a moment. But the problem of the Corinthians in being carnal is putting too much emphasis on man, elevating man above what the Scripture says man should be looked upon. But at the same time, they had another problem, and that is they were de-evaluating. How could you do that? They were lowering the evaluation that they should have had, the esteem that they should have of Paul himself. And that was where, in one sense, where God used a man to bring a message to them, they looked at that man and belittled the value of his apostleship. And then turned around and elevated men and just followed men apart from what God was really doing. And so that was a carnal thing that the Corinthians were involved in. Just to show you some of those things, we already read verse 12, how they're saying they're of these different men. In chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, came not unto you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So Paul says, when I came there, I didn't try to show you how good of a speaker I was and lure you on my side, so to speak. But he says in verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul was a messenger sent by God as an apostle with a message for the Corinthians, and he wasn't trying to sway them through words, and he wasn't trying to sway them unto himself. He was trying to sway them unto the wisdom of God and point out the wisdom and the power of God unto them for salvation. In chapter 3 of Corinthians, in verse 21, Paul says, "Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Now, the reason he says, therefore let no man glory in men, that's what the Corinthians were doing. They're looking on the flesh of men. They're looking on the wisdom of some men. They're looking at the eloquence of some men. They're looking at the stature of some men. And they're saying, oh, I'm of that guy. I'm going to follow him. And they're not at all doing what God would have them to do. Listen for the message that God has for them. And so Paul says, not to glory in men. In chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of man above that which is written, that no one of you should be puffed up one against the other." So Paul says, look, I've been trying to teach you in these four chapters not to look upon men above what is written of men. But you know, at the same time, you better look about what is written of men. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, he calls himself the Apostle to the Gentiles. And he writes to them as his Apostle, and in the carnal thing, they're lifting up men and looking at men and identifying with men. And then on the spiritual level, they're not really recognizing who the Apostle Paul is and what ministry he has to the Gentiles and the calling that he has of God. In chapter 4, in verse 1, he says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." He says, if you're going to look at me, don't look at me as Paul the man. Look at me as a minister of Jesus Christ and a steward. That is, someone who is responsible for administering the mystery of God, to dispense out the message of God that wasn't known until God sent it out through Paul. So he says, think of us that way. He says over here in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." You know, Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter didn't go to Gentiles preaching the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry didn't go to Gentiles preaching the gospel. And Apollos, he only went to Gentiles preaching the gospel after Ananias and Aquila and Priscilla showed him the way of God more excellency, and they were one of the first converts of the Apostle Paul in the city of Corinth. And Paul says, now, though you might have many instructors, remember, I'm the one who brought you to faith. I'm the one who God sent to give you the message of salvation. So he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach in teach everywhere in every church. So Paul gets their eyes off men and gets it back to the message of God, and he happens to be the messenger of God to the Gentiles, and so he says, now follow me. So he takes their evaluation from a carnal level and makes them evaluate things on a spiritual level. And the problem with the Corinthians, as we see here, was that they were looking at men on a carnal level. Naturally, they would look at Paul as a great leader. Some would say, I'm of Paul. And the reason why, back in Acts chapter 18, Paul is the one who came into the city of Corinth and began to reason with them. He went into the synagogue in chapter 18 of Acts, verse 4, and reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day, persuading Jews and Greeks, both the Jew and the Gentile. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook the raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, from henceforth I go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So the Corinthians, Paul is the one who came and shared them the message of Jesus Christ. And so naturally, because of him being the founder, they would look at him and some would say, I am of Paul. But you know, in the same chapter, Paul eventually leaves and goes off to Jerusalem and then back to Ephesus. While he's away, he left Aquila and Priscilla, a couple, in Ephesus. When they were there, there was a man who came by who was a great preacher. His name is Apollos. Remember, some of them said, I'm of Apollos. In chapter 18 of Acts, verse 24, it says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in Scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit, and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now in your Bible, John the Baptist showed up before Jesus Christ did. And John the Baptist was introducing people, saying there's one who's coming after him who is going to be the Messiah. And John's ministry was to introduce Jesus Christ. This man came from Egypt, came through Ephesus, preaching mightily about the coming of Christ, but he only knew the baptism of John. He didn't know that Jesus Christ had already come, that Jesus Christ had already died. Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ from heaven called the Apostle Paul and sent him to the Gentiles with the gospel of salvation through the cross of Christ. This man didn't know any of that. But according to these verses, this man was an eloquent man and fervent in the Spirit. I mean, this guy could get up, he could be very persuasive, even though he didn't even have all the truth. But he was very persuasive, and as a result, it says in verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now this man's got the message as well as the ability to speak. And so it says, the next verse, it says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia. Now Corinth is the chief city of Achaia. So he's going to go through to Corinth. It says, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. So after Paul came and gave the foundation of Jesus Christ and led many to the Lord, here come Apollos after him, a very polished, very eloquent man, comes in and now brought up to date about the message of Jesus Christ, he goes and helps them further at Corinth. So naturally, there's some at Corinth now who say, I'm not of Apollos, I'm of Apollos. Oh, look at that man. Look at the way he can speak. So some were following Apollos. Others, it says, they were of Cephas. Now, we won't go through the verses, but I've already told you, Cephas is Peter. The name Peter and even the name Cephas, that's the Aramaic wording for Peter, and it's the name that the Gentiles would use of Peter, and both Peter and Cephas mean a rock. And boy, that speaks about Peter. That's the kind of person he was. I'm sure it's the kind of stature he had, just being a fisherman, being a rugged man, being able to do things that others weren't when it came to pulling in nets and so forth. And at the same time, we know he was like a rock when it come to leadership and taking a stand and things like that. And so Peter, Jesus Christ, called him a rock. Well, I can see some people, especially since there's many Jews here at Corinth, some of them people are saying, man, you can say you're of Paul and you can say you're of Apollos, but I'm of Cephas. He's the rock. And so some of them chose to say and claim and to be a part of Cephas. But then the other one says, some said they're of Christ. And you know, that group of people is here today as well. When the people at Corinth were saying, I'm of Christ, what they were saying is, I don't follow any man's teaching. I only follow the teaching of Christ. I only follow what Jesus Christ taught in his earthly ministry when he's here. In some Bibles that people have, the words of Christ are in red. And that's the same kind of people. They're saying, oh, I don't believe any of the other things that anybody else said. I only believe the words in red in the Bible. Totally ignoring that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 that if any man be spiritual among you, there wasn't too many spiritual men among them, but if there is any spiritual among you, he said, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of Christ. Your Bible, the words of Christ, are the whole New Testament. It's not Paul and Apollos and others who were used, they were used to minister the word of Jesus Christ. And those who say, I am of Christ, what they're saying is, I only follow the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he said, now unto him that's able to establish you according to my gospel. There's been a gospel message that's committed to Paul that Jesus Christ didn't teach in his earthly ministry. He says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Paul preached Jesus Christ in a way that was kept secret since the world began until it was revealed to Paul. He preached Jesus Christ as head of the body, not kingdom, not the king of Israel. He preached Jesus Christ according to his heavenly purpose and what God plans to do with him through the body of Christ throughout all eternity in the heavenly places. Paul had that revelation, and if someone says, oh, I only follow the teaching of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, you sound real spiritual, but you're nothing but pious. You don't realize that there is more that Jesus Christ taught after he ascended into heaven through his apostles and especially the apostle Paul. And so there's those who teach those things. The problem with the Corinthians, their focus was on the man and not the message. Their focus was on the person and not the preaching. Their focus was on the witness rather than on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that their thoughts were on ceremonies like baptism rather than on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, after Paul deals with some baptism issues here, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know what a spiritual person will do? They'll look for God's message in the cross for them. And the Apostle Paul is the one who he says, I thank God I baptized so few, lest the cross of Christ would be of none effect. The attention, he draws their attention to the cross. When they looked at Paul, they were looking at the preacher. But what they should have been looking on is the preaching. Verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. They should have been looking at the preaching of the cross that Paul was given to them. Some of them were looking at Apollos. As we said, he was an eloquent man, very good with words, and probably very clever, so they would look at the wisdom of men. But what Corinthians wants them to do is look at the wisdom of God. Again, chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, came not unto you with excellency of speech or wisdom of words, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't come that way. But what he came to do was in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Rather than focusing on the wisdom of men, get the message of the wisdom of God. And Paul gave them the wisdom of God, not trying to get them to look at him, but look at the wisdom of God. Look what God has provided through the cross in defeating Satan, in giving you everlasting life freely by his grace. So they gets off of Apollos and man's wisdom onto the wisdom of God. He says, get off the idea of Cephas being the rock and get your attention on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul takes their attention off of Peter the rock. How about the foundation of it all is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes their attention off the teaching of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. He takes them and shows them that to him was given the truth about what Jesus Christ is accomplishing today. And that's why back in chapter 2, he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which is ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's a revelation of truth about Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross that Paul gives. And if a person's carnal, if all they can do is follow men and identify with man, then they're going to miss the spiritual teaching that God has for us. And I would say that the Christian church is much the same way. I think there's a bunch of people that are identifying with different religious activities. The fundamentalists are like the ones who are saying, I'm of Paul. Some of the liberal Protestant type of teachers, they're the ones who are more going into the eloquent teaching and following people like Apollos. There's the Catholic and the Orthodox religions of this world that just got to follow Peter and got to be built on him and his profession and the things that he says. And they're missing the foundation that was laid in grace by the Apostle Paul, which foundation is Jesus Christ himself. Then there's those who would be real pious, call themselves the Church of Christ or the Apostolic Church or the Disciples of Christ, and they say, we only follow Christ's earthly ministry, and they're missing the truth about the grace of God that's revealed here. That's not the messengers, it's the message of the cross of Christ. And you need focused on that message for you to be saved.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.